cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovek on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, we spent a ton of time talking about the public markets, how they fared in 2022, how they're faring in 2023. I mean, that's what we do here at Bloomberg. We talk markets. But what about private markets? Mm-hmm. We do spend a good time talking about them, but we really want to get into it with Scott Sperling, the co-CEO at Thomas H. Lee Partners. He's a great voice when it comes to everything that's happening when it comes to privates, alternatives. He spent a decade with the Harvard Management Company overseeing alternative assets for Harvard's endowment. He's joining us now with an outlook on private equity. It's good to have you with us, Scott. How are you?
Thank you. Good. What beautiful day in Boston. What more can we ask for?
I mean, I guess what more we could ask for is, I don't know, you know, a decade of near zero rates, but that's neither here nor there.
I think that prayer was already answered.
Okay, now what? We got that. The question is now what? So now what in 2023 and beyond as the Fed looks at it, or I guess traders look at a terminal rate of 5%?
Right. Which, you know, when you look historically, is not all that high.
That's what everybody keeps saying, Scott. It is. Just, it is if you're under 40. That's the truth. And I don't mean that in a funny way. I truly mean that. What you know, look at the percentage of people you have on Wall Street now who've never lived in an interest rate environment. You know, that we saw in like the 70s, 80s, or 90s.
An amazing percentage actually didn't live through the Great Financial Recession in 2008.
Now,
fortunately or unfortunately, I still remember the first mortgage that my wife and I got back in 1981.
Can I guess?
Was 17.5%.
Yeah, I was going to say 15. Oh, I mean, that's the thing. So, okay. So does that mean we have a repeat of the 1980s?
Yeah. So I don't think so. I think that the world has evolved. The nature of the business models that are prevalent in the preponderance of the value in the public markets and also in the private markets is much better than the nature of the business models that existed back in the 80s. I think the ability to better control inflation does exist relative to where we were in the late 70s and early 80s, given the enormity of the pop in energy prices. But what we are losing is the benefit of 20 to 30 years of strong anti-inflationary forces, such as technologies that allowed us to produce much more energy at much lower pricing, technologies and the ability to move manufacturing globally to places that could do it much less expensively. And we are in a period where the cost of regulation is going up. Those three very anti-inflationary forces that predominated for most of the last 2 to 3 decades allowed the Fed and then more recently fiscal authorities to pump enormous amounts of liquidity into the system without causing inflation. And that resulted in that zero interest rate environment that we referred to that we've already had the benefit of. As we look forward, because those anti-inflationary forces have been reversed or at least have run out of steam, and we are looking at a series of things that will be a challenge from an inflationary perspective in terms of putting it back in the tube, most, I guess most forcefully, let's look at wage price inflation and the need for people to get ever higher wages to deal with the ever higher cost of living. The Fed is going to be very focused on trying to do whatever it takes to not put us back into a situation that we experienced in the 80s. And I think there's a high probability they will succeed. The bigger question is, what's the new normal when we get there? Is it 4 or 5% interest rates or 3.5% interest rates? Can they get to 2% inflation, or will we be back in a world of about 3 to 4% inflation that would have been nirvana as we thought about it for most of the 1970s, 80s, and even into the 90s, but seems very high today. And the implication for that is right, what you've been talking about, which is it has a very significant impact on the way that we price the value of companies in the public markets and also in the private markets for those of us in private equity.
Well, Scott, let's bring it back to your point, the private markets. I'm curious what the bull case is for private markets at a time when I think it's widely understood that private lags the public markets. And if there's still a lot of pain in store for the public markets, then by definition, doesn't that mean there's still going to be a lot of pain in the private market? So what is the incentive to pursue that?
Well, I think that there are two sets of opportunities. And, you know, interestingly, if you look at the data over the course of the last 30 years, it has been periods of economic turmoil where you have the most attractive investing opportunities for private equity because of the nature of the patience that we can have as an investor and because of the ability, at least for firms like ours, who can help companies better navigate difficult financial situations. When we see this kind of disruption in valuation, that tends to be an attractive time to invest. You're exactly correct, though, about the lag time. So the public markets have corrected. Maybe a lot of things aren't cheap, but they're certainly a lot lower priced than they were 6, 12, 18 months ago. And there are a lot of companies that, again, have very good business models. Think about some of the technology companies, particularly things that have high recurring revenues. Those are good business models to invest in.
Well, let's talk about
what's the right multiple level.
Well, let's talk about some of these companies. Definitely interested in hearing about your thoughts about some of your portfolio companies. Let's just go with auction.com, for example. The company sells foreclosed homes. Would love to hear what you're seeing when it comes to the pipeline for foreclosures and bids for these properties, because it can kind of tell us about the broader economy.
Sure. So to be clear, auction.com itself is not involved in the foreclosure process or chain of ownership of foreclosed properties. So it's a technology platform that is a automated marketplace that allows the folks who own that mortgage paper or the actual foreclosed property to much more efficiently and hopefully with many fewer errors go through the process, if necessary, of foreclosure, and then be able to put that property back into the market at the lowest possible cost, most efficiently. So auction.com is a technology company that serves the folks who are involved in the mortgage market more broadly, but specifically to help ensure that the foreclosure process is as accurate as possible, and that the folks like Fannie and Freddie, who often own that paper and take those properties, can then put it back, that property back into the market as efficiently.
So what are you guys seeing in that business right now?
Possible. You know, I would say that there's certainly a turn up in the number of foreclosures, but you know, we're nowhere near what happened during the Great Financial Recession. Obviously, as we anticipate a more difficult macroeconomic environment, that may change a bit.
And right.
the higher volume of foreclosures.
Hey, Scott, we got to run. 30 seconds left. Just a comment on Hightower Advisors Wealth Management, given the 2022 market plunge. How's that line of business? 30 seconds.
So these RIA advisory businesses are good, strong businesses. We've seen continued significant growth, very strong secular forces driving towards the RIA from the wirehouse. What we've tried to do is build the industry-leading platform, again, using technology and the ability to scale services to the individual advisors.
Scott Sperling, we love talking to you. You got to come back and join us again soon. He's coach, CEO of Thomas H. Lee Partners. He spent years at Harvard Management overseeing privates for Harvard's endowment private equity. Really good to have you with us, Scott Sperling. This is Bloomberg.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for the Future Investor Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.